confident. It means to have strong belief or full assurance. It means you're sure. Sure of oneself, having no uncertainty about one's own abilities, correctness, or successfulness. Confident. It means excessively bold or sometimes presumptuous. Confident. Some people would say that I'm a confident individual. There are many people that say I'm an arrogant individual at times because my confidence gets the better of me. But when I say that word confident, and then I think about this series, Doubters Welcome, somehow those two words don't seem to fit together, do they? I mean, if I am confident, how can I be a doubter? I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, if I am confident, that implies that I have trust. If I am confident, then I am willing to step out because I perceive the risk as minimal. I look at things and I have confidence. Ironically, today's doubter exudes this word confidence, only to find themselves full of doubt and even lacking faith. And it's important that we remember that confidence sometimes will leave us absolutely sinking in doubt. Who is our confident doubter? His name is Peter. So if you have your copy of God's Word, will you please make your way to Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. I will catch up with you in just a minute. You can keep tuning, you can keep turning while I tell you, who is Peter? Well, he's Peter. I mean, he is a married man. A lot of times we forget this. Somehow we got the idea that all the apostles were all single and they like went away to camp for a little while and, you know, they just kind of, he's a married man. At least according to Mark chapter 1, verse 30, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever and they immediately told Jesus about her. Now we'll get to Simon and Peter. Give me just a moment. Okay, not a moment. How about we talk about this right now? He was the rock before Dwayne Johnson ever thought about the nickname. Okay, he was the rock. Now, his original name was Peter, and then he came and met Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he said, Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter, which means rock. So that's Jesus' nickname for Peter. He's supposed to be a rock, and sometimes he was thick as one. It just kind of worked out that way. He preached the first ever sermon in church, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41. I'll let you go read the sermon. Again, it's a really good sermon. It's a great sermon. If you're ever having questions about where do I start with Jesus, that's a really good place to start, because you know what? He does an awesome job of explaining what it means to be a follower of Christ. He was the first one. I guess, technically, there's a happy trigger finger this morning. There you go. Technically, he was the very first missionary. Now, I know we can debate this a little bit, but he's the guy that the guy came to him and said, hey, I want you to go and preach to the Gentiles. And he's like, not me, Lord. And then Jesus brings out a buffet and says, hey, look, I got all these animals. I'm now giving you permission to eat. And he's like, not me, Lord. That's not on my diet. Personally, a lot of the animals he was saying no to, I don't know what he was thinking. They're delicious. But he said, not me. And eventually God convinced him, you need to go. And he became the world's first missionary, technically. He was the first one to confess Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And while he was not the first pope, he was indeed the first leader of the church in Jerusalem. According to Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. He's Peter. I mean, you probably know him if you just have ever been to VBS before. You've probably heard the name. You probably have some understanding. Maybe somewhere there's a story tucked in your brain that somebody, he's Peter. And you know what? He is an extremely confident individual, but at the same time, he's never sure. I mean, he's the guy that was constantly correcting Jesus. Last week we learned Martha's first name for Lord was But. Peter had a first name too. It was called Not So. Not So, Lord, is what he kept telling you. Not So, Lord. Not So, Lord. It's not gonna. That's Peter. He's the guy that declared he's going to go to the grave with Jesus only to later deny him. Not once, not twice, but three times. Peter, well, he's the guy that cut off a man's ear trying to defend Jesus and then disappeared into the night. He's the guy that refuses to be washed by Jesus only to then be request to be bathed by Jesus. He's the guy that stepped out of the boat and, well, I guess Jesus gave him the right name because he sunk like a rock. Yeah, that's Peter. Yeah, it's all coming back to you now. You know who this guy is, right? I mean, he's the guy that we all think about at starting church. He is Peter, but here he is, part of our doubters club. Part of the people that had their questions about Jesus. And well, you need to remember that Peter has great confidence, and that often led him down the path of doubt. It happened. And you see there, I've got the word moment in quotes because Peter did not have one moment of doubt. There was a multitude of moments in Peter's faith that he intersected with this word doubt. And he failed. He sunk. He denied. And so while I could like make this really great sermon series just based on Peter's doubt, I'm going to focus on one story this morning. It's one that we're very familiar with. You've probably heard it if you've been in church bunches of times. Again, VBS, this is one of the stories they like to talk about. Hopefully you've made your way to Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 31, and this is what it says. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, and don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So as the story goes, the story of Jesus walking on the water is told here in Matthew, again in Mark, and in John. But here's the funny thing. Only Matthew ever mentions about Peter jumping out the boat and taking a stroll. The other two guys kind of left that out, so some people ponder whether Jesus did this more than once. Don't know, but those guys didn't write about it, but here Matthew tells us about it. And the other thing that you need to know is that, well, it's something Peter would never live down. Come on, we've all been around guys before, right? You think every time they passed another body of water, somebody didn't chunk Peter and say, "Want to go for a walk?" And you know that Peter probably looked back and said, "Well, at least I got out the boat." I mean, you know this was a topic of discussion for the rest of the ministry. Everybody probably gave Peter a hard time. The story reminds us that, well, he had phenomenal faith. But confidence and doubt, they go hand in hand. Now, I get what you're going to tell me. Well, Jesus said he had little faith. Yeah, but that little bit of faith, that was a phenomenal act, because I want to tell you something. I'd still be in the boat Okay, let's be honest. I wouldn't be in the boat to start with. I'd be back on the shore. No. I would still be in the hotel looking out the window at the beach because I don't like the beach. I'm not going to be on the boat. So Peter has a lot of faith here, folks. And when Jesus comes out, which are the first words he says? Take courage. It is I. And so Peter hears those words from his Lord, and he says, Jesus, I see you. If it's really you, tell me to come. And I wonder what Peter's thinking at this point. Remember, his profession, he's a fisherman. He's lived on the water his entire life. This doesn't make any sense. The fisherman would say, let me get out of the water. But let me just tell you, it's something he's probably dreamed of his entire life. He's probably been on those boats, and he's looked at that water so many times and said, wouldn't it be cool if I could walk on the stuff? And here's his chance, and he begs Jesus, and Jesus just gives him one word. Come. And I thought about this week, and how many times do we pray for something, and we ask God for something, and we confidently are saying, Lord, would you please send somebody to lead this person to Christ? And God looks at you and says, okay, go. Who, me? Do you really think Peter ever expected to have Jesus say, you want to get out here? Step on out the boat with me. And well, to his credit, Peter got out the boat. And I get the picture here. This is Peter. Remember, this is Peter. And he didn't just like, you know what he did, right? He stood up on the boat and he went, I'm standing. Oh my gosh, he had to be so excited. This is Peter. He never did anything halfway. And he jumped out that boat. It says he got down out the boat. He jumped out and there he is walking on the water. Wouldn't that be just so cool? Now, there is something I need you to point out to you. That is the fact that, the wind and the waves, they were there before Peter ever got out that boat. See, a lot of times we blame everything on the wind and waves. Peter saw those wind and that wind, and he heard that wind, and he saw those waves before he ever said, Jesus, can I get off the boat? And he got out. And the second he got out of the boat, all of a sudden that confidence that he had in Jesus, something happened to it. He began to look around, and he's like, what on earth have I done? And he began to sink. And to his credit, when he began to sink, he knew exactly what to do. What did he say? Lord, save me. It's funny, there is no not so Lord at that point. Lord, I'm in trouble. I bit off more than I can chew. And I'm going to die unless you do something. And I just kept thinking about that and thinking about that. Don't you think maybe he should have had a backup plan? He could swim, right? He could have asked his other companions in the boat. They were probably a little closer at this point. But he cried out to God. And I love what it says about Jesus at this point. It says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. So this is not the way I would do this scene if I was Jesus. Peter would have stepped down that boat and he would have started to sink and he would have cried out. He said, Lord, save me. And I would have given a dramatic pause. Maybe this is a good time for a sermon, folks. Maybe we should evaluate what's wrong with Peter here. What do you think, all you guys in the boat? Let's have a vote about whether or not Peter should have ever stepped out the boat. Come on, you should have at least let him thrash around a little bit, Jesus, right? Maybe try to do the doggy paddle, try to save himself, right? I mean, that'd make a better sermon if you let him there and you let him drown. He's going down one time and he's going down a third time and he's got the little three fingers up like the cartoon character and he's starting to go down and you see the bubbles and then Jesus reaches out at the very last minute when everything is at its darkest moment and that would have been a better picture, don't you think? He didn't laugh at him about his lost confidence. Come on. You think the guys in the boat weren't laughing their heads off at this point? There's Peter. He stepped out. Look, he's sinking. He's going to drown. You know. But not Jesus. It says that Peter found himself in a moment of doubt. And the moment he cried out, it says, immediately, Jesus stepped into the situation. And well, you would think, at the very least, as many times as Peter opened mouth and inserted foot, at the very least, Jesus would take this moment to give him a lesson. And well, there's a lesson, all right, and he's going to get a lesson, but the first thing Jesus has to do is get him out of crisis mode. And I think that's important for us to remember. A lot of times when we've stepped out in confidence and we've bitten off more than we can chew and our life is starting to sink and we just are crying out for help, a lot of times you know what we don't do? We don't cry out for help. Why? Because I don't want to face Jesus. I don't want to have to explain to God why I did what I did. I don't want it. And so we just kind of let it all go. And Jesus knew this isn't the time or the place to give him a lesson. This is the time or place to reach out my hand and pull him out of the water. Let's get him safe before we can try to fix the problem. So Jesus reaches out and he pulls him out the water. And again, you can just have the picture. Here's him. He's drenched wet and he's all soaking. And of course, now Jesus is all wet. And they're walking back toward the boat. And Jesus is carrying him. And he sets him over in the boat. And Jesus climbs over in the boat. And of course, again, all of his companions are sitting there just laughing. Or maybe at this point, they're kind of like just silent. But underneath, they're kind of like, serves you right, Peter. That'll teach you to show us up and get out of that boat. But Jesus looks at Peter. And here's his lesson. You ready? It's a long one. Be careful. No, Jesus doesn't give long lessons. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Now, I just want to tell you, I've heard this sermon preached, and I think a lot of people paint Jesus in the wrong moment. I think they like put little exclamation points where there aren't any, and they kind of make emphasis where there aren't any, and that they think Jesus is scolding Peter at this point. I don't think he's scolding him at all. I think he's taking a very logical approach to Peter at this point because he tells Peter, you have little faith. If you think about it, Jesus had told us if we just had a little faith, no doubt, we could move a mountain. So the idea that Jesus says you only have a little bit of faith isn't necessarily a bad thing because he had a little faith, but the guys that stayed in the boat, they had no faith. And Jesus doesn't say that about Peter. It's not the same as saying he had no faith. He's not scolding Peter for his lack of faith. He's just saying, understand, you have little faith. It's not all grown up. There are things that are going to have to happen to your faith. Peter's little faith gave him the confidence to get out of the boat. But Jesus knew something bigger and better was coming because it was going to take great faith that allowed him to stay out. See, there were going to be other moments and other times when Peter was going to have to take a confident walk. And what Jesus is saying to him when he says, you've got little faith, Jesus is simply saying, there's room to grow. Don't give up. Think about it, those who have kids, and you've had your kids for a while, and you've given them instructions, and they do exactly what you tell them not to do, and then you're pressed with that moment, had a teachable moment, and you have to look at them and say, you don't understand yet. You're not all grown up yet. You've got things to learn. Understand, I applaud you, Peter, that you got out the boat, but the fact that you then began to doubt, your faith has room to grow. Can I share something with you that might surprise you? My faith isn't all grown up yet. Okay, a lot of you who know me really, you're like, well, you're not even all grown up yet, okay? No way your faith could be all grown up. My faith is not all grown up yet. I come across situations that I have such confidence that I go charging in. And Jesus is like, here we go again. I'm going to be pulling them out the water again. But he lets me go and charge on in, and then when I get in over my head, he's like, I cry out, and he's like, yep, you a little faith. You got room to grow, Barry. And that's true for everybody. The moment your faith stops growing, it starts dying. Never let you be somebody insult you by saying you don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. I want more. It's got to grow. And sometimes the only way it can grow is through doubt. Why did you doubt? That was the second point in Jesus' lesson. Why, Peter? Now, you know, Peter beat himself up over this years and years to come. You think the guys didn't let Peter live this down? Peter never let himself live this down. I mean, at this point, as he's sitting there in that boat and he's soaking wet, he's probably really embarrassed. I mean, he took a step that he probably should have never taken, at least not humanly speaking. And it didn't turn out the way that he wanted to turn out. And he lost all of his confidence. And he's probably sitting there thinking, I can't wait till this boat gets back to shore. I'm going to find myself a rock and I'm going to crawl under it. And yeah, that's going to be the rock, all right, me, under it. He's embarrassed. And as Jesus asked that question again, I want to rephrase it just a little bit, because Jesus is not scolding Peter for his doubt. You know what he's asking, right? What went wrong, Peter? I am a project manager in another job, and we have these things. Well, I don't care whether the project is 6 weeks long or 1 year long. We have these things. We call them postmortems. The project is all ended, and we're all done with doing what we're going to do. And so we bring everybody that was part of the project together, and we get them. We used to get them in a room. Now we get them in a chat room, and we all get together, and we ask ourselves three simple questions, and everybody has to give an answer. What went right? Where are there things we can improve on? And what were our missed opportunities? And we do this as a team, not because we're looking to blame people for things that went wrong. You know what we're looking for, right? How do I improve? And so here is Jesus, and he's pulled Peter out, and he's laid him in there, and he said, okay, just understand, your faith isn't big enough for this yet. But I want you to ask yourself something, Peter. What went wrong? I think as Christians, a lot of times we're afraid to ask this question. But we've all been there, right? You've done something or committed something to God, and you've done your very best. You ran as hard as you can. You put in the hours, and you know what? It went over like a lead balloon. It sunk. And we're afraid to ask this question sometimes. What went wrong? God, where is that area that I need to improve in? You say there's room for growth. Help me. And I love this moment, because that's all Jesus wants to ask Peter. Peter, I'm not going to tell you what went wrong. You tell me. Why did you doubt? What was it that allowed you to doubt? I mean, Jesus could have taken this moment to just smack Peter upside the head and say, bonehead, get with the program. He could have made Peter an example to all the others. Isn't that what we like to do when we catch somebody in those doubters moments? Let me tell you everything that went wrong with your life in 30 seconds or less, and off we go. He gave Peter time to reflect. And this is an invaluable lesson, because he wanted Peter to understand why Peter doubted. Doesn't matter what I think. Peter needed to know what changed. Because again, you got to go back to the picture. There he is in the boat, and he looks out there on the horizon, and there is Jesus. And they go, ah, it's a ghost. No, it's not a ghost. It is I. Take heart. Take courage. And he says, come. And he gets out, and he's there, and he's walking, and he's good. And then all of a sudden, there they are. He feels the wind on his face, and he looks around and he hears the roaring of those waves, and you know what changed, right? It was his focus. He went from focusing on Jesus to focusing on his surroundings. And that's the amazing thing, because when Jesus was the focal point, all was good. Isn't that the way it works in our life today? When I can keep Jesus in the middle, when I can keep my eyes focused on Jesus, when I can put the blinders on and I can just move my faith toward Jesus, things go pretty good, don't they? But unfortunately, I have peripheral vision. And unfortunately, God built my head where it'll do this. And sometimes this. And I began to look around. And when I look around, I see wind and waves. And, well, they became his focal point. And, well, you get what you get, right? Fear and sinking. Why did you doubt, Peter? It isn't because he lost faith in Jesus. It's because he didn't have enough faith in Jesus to overcome what he had began to focus on. If he had just kept his eyes forward, he could have danced on the water with Jesus. He could have stayed out there all day long. It would have been something that would have been you of great faith. And sometimes doubt is just this simple. You didn't intend for it to happen. You went out there to do something great. However, you just lost your focus a little bit. And well, maybe you're asking, so what about his contributions after this? And I have to ask you, how long do you want this sermon to be? If I tried today to tell you all the things that Peter accomplished in his life after this moment, we would literally be sitting here until next Sunday, because he did so much in his life. So instead of giving you the list, you can go read them. Read through the book of Acts. You can read through all the accomplishments. You can read through the back part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They'll tell you all the things that Peter did for Jesus. Let's just talk about the boat for a second. He never got a do-over. Wouldn't it be cool if there was a second story somewhere where Peter got it right? But he never got a do-over. But personally speaking, all the times that Peter went to the water, I personally believe he looked at that water, and every time he saw it, he said, next time. Next time I'm out here, next time it's me and Jesus, next time I'm going to do this, next time I'm not going to lose my focus. And in those very private moments, when he placed his feet in the water, I bet he asked himself that question over and over again. Why? Why is it so hard for me to keep my focus on Jesus? Why do I keep having these moments of doubt? And it's a lesson that I bet each of you have had before. You've got to have had these moments. You know, every time he heard the wind and the waves again, I bet he tried to remember, my God is bigger. Funny thing is, later in life, Peter would have to take another faith walk. Jesus kind of gives us a precursor for it in John chapter 21, verses 18 through 19. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. On this particular day, Peter himself, like his Lord, would be crucified. History tells us that he asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel honored enough to be crucified the same way Jesus did. And on that day, the waves of people around him was pressing around him and asking him, turn back. On that day, the wind of the voices of the people around him were filling his ears, jeering him and telling him, look. But on that day, Peter said, not this time. No, sir. I learned my lesson on the water. I learned my lesson. I am not going to take my eyes off of Jesus. I'm going to walk this walk. I will not flinch. And again, as history, as I told you, history requested he be crucified upside down. And Peter was crucified. He took that walk, and he never looked back. And I began to think about this, and you know what? Stepping out is easy. Walking, not so much. And maybe you're here today and you've taken that moment, and you know what, at one point in your life, you stepped out of the boat and you said, sign me up, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Christ. Maybe you did what Aaliyah did and you stepped in this water and you allowed yourself to be baptized. And you know what? Awesome for you. Let me ask you something. Has your faith grown? Have you allowed yourself to build your faith in such a way that, you know what, you can step out for a little longer and a little longer and a little longer? Are you growing closer to Christ? Or do you still find yourself in that point, you step out of the boat and everything around you comes crashing in, you sink? Take heart. If you're still in the crashing and sinking mode, Jesus says there's still room to grow. But I would like to encourage you this moment and this morning to say, you know what? Jesus, I love you so much, I'm ready to step out the boat and stay out of the boat. And to do that, I understand I've got to change the focus of my life, the priority of my life, to be you.